Welcome to the new For Purpose CEO podcast.
I'm Michelle.
I am Danielle. And we are here to talk about being a CEO in the for-purpose sector. Each episode, we will talk about issues not-for-profit and for-purpose CEOs need to manage based on our 30-plus years of experience. It will be an honest discussion of the highs and the lows, helping you tackle the unique challenges of running a NFP.
Leading can be challenging and sometimes lonely. We get it. Join us and our guests weekly for an honest discussion about running a for-purpose organisation. We will be sharing practical tips, shared experiences and real-world stories to help you tackle the unique challenges of running a for-purpose organisation.
Right, so today we're going to talk about the relationship with the board, and we've had a few people come and talk to us about a whole range of issues, and I was thinking in the sorts of relationships that I most often see between a board and a CEO. I mean, there's the good relationship, there's a lot of really good relationships. There's a lot of those ones. But I think that also the ones that may have issues or the ones that do have issues, they generally fall into a few camps, not a lot of camps. And I think that it's probably worth talking through some of the issues we see so that if you're the CEO, you actually can kind of concretize what exactly the issue is and then possibly go through, okay, here's some ways we can work on the issue. Because I think as the CEO, one of the trickiest things is that you're not on the board. Some CEOs actually are on the board, but you're in a really weird position. You've got two hats on. You might be on the board, but you're also the CEO. So, you know, you've got a bit of an issue here. You're reporting into yourself, so that's tricky. But if you're the CEO and you're not on the board, but you attend board meetings, so it's not your meeting, I guess it's the first thing. You're not the boss of this meeting. You shouldn't be running this meeting. It should be the chair that's running the meeting. So if things are going awry or you think there's a few issues which we'll talk through, what we want to talk through is how do you work on fixing some of these issues as the CEO?
And I think it's important to know, yeah, it's not your meeting, but as the CEO, you're going into board meetings or board committee meetings or discussions with your board seeking an outcome that's going to help you progress something that's going on within the organization, right? So it might be a strategic initiative that you need decisions or investment on. So every time you go into a discussion, even though it's not your meeting, you as a CEO need something out of that meeting.
Well, you've done your CEO report, right? So you've presented information to the board for a reason. And I think the sorts of issues that people that I see or that people come to me with are in the meeting itself, the meeting dynamics, or I guess how they receive your information. So, you know, we have one issue that people say is I don't think everyone's reading the papers. You know, people sit there flipping papers and it's pretty obvious. So, you know, that's a form of disengagement, I think.
Yeah, I think it can be common for CEOs to hear from directors asking questions and it's obvious to you and perhaps other people in the room that the answer is actually in the paper. The CEO has already anticipated that or expected that question and has presented a response to that, and whether the person hasn't read the papers or they haven't actually fully digested or understood that particular matter. But if it's time and time again, it becomes, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's annoying. It's really annoying. But I think if it's a one-off, that's one thing. But if it is repeated behaviour, then let's assume it's not the chair. So if it's not the chair, then I think in your meetings with the chair, you definitely should bring it up and you should ask the chair to, you know, are they aware of it? Like they might also be aware of it and kind of almost waiting for someone to say something. But I think that, you know, one of the things is everyone's very busy. You know, it's no excuse. You know, you're a director, you signed up to be a director, you've got director duties. And so I think as the CEO, it might be that conversation with the chair takes the kind of form of, well, you know, that's the role, that's their duties. I think we could have a general conversation in the boardroom around duties.
Expectations.
Yeah, expectations of being prepared rather than you. I don't think the answer is for you to address it as the CEO directly. But I think that's the kind of one sort of the disengagement a little bit or unprepared. But then so often we have the other, which is the really involve the board or some directors who want to get really operational and ask you lots of questions, get too involved, have discussions which are, you know, clearly operational, not strategic. And what do you do as CEO in that
case? Which is really hard, because if in those discussions you as the CEO potentially answering or responding to questions or queries or suggestions, at the same time you've got to process, hang on, is this their role? Is this my role? Like you're defining the boundary or the border in that moment as well, and trying to navigate through that discussion. But, you know, I think it is commonly, I hear from other CEOs, one of the challenges that they're commonly experiencing is where the role of the board and the role of the CEO actually stop and start, and having a director who wants to come in and take charge of it, do it all and make it better or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it might come from a good place. They might be trying to help. But I think even if it's not the doing, they actually just want to have the conversation, which is a really operational conversation. And I think that when you're, you know, right there and then as the CEO, it is quite hard to go, well, this is too operational and actually we should be strategic. But I do think that if this happens more than once, then I do think this is something that you have to bring up with the chair. Now, I always say to chairs and CEOs when this is happening, is it about particular topics? Because it might be that there's a big project, or there might be something happening where the board's not feeling as informed. And so it might actually be topic specific, or is it board specific or director specific? And so I think one of the things as CEO is to think, well, is it just about topics that people really know about and they think they're being helpful? Or is it about a particular project where you just get stuck saying the same things and getting really kind of micromanaged or having micro discussions about it? You know, what is it? Is it a person? Is it an issue? Is it the way of the board? So try and work out where that issue is coming up.
I think you also need, as a CEO in those moments, to do a little bit of self-reflection, because if there are themes coming up and questions coming up, which are very, very operational, if it's coming from across the board, of the board, there might be some emerging lack of trust about what they're being presented with. And so that might be a conversation you actually have to have with your chair.
It might be, but it also might be they just don't feel informed as to what's going on. Because I will say to CEOs, the board, you know, the board is allowed to ask questions. And I'll say to boards, you're allowed to ask questions. You have to know what's going on. You have to have reporting in a way that makes you feel comfortable that your strategic plan is, you know, the operationalization and the implementation of the strategic goals is happening. The risks are being addressed. You know, like you have to know this and get comfortable. So I think there's a number of avenues that you as the CEO can raise this with the chair and ask the chair to lead a conversation around, because it might be they're just not quite sure what's going on, or they feel they should be asking more questions. And so I think there are ways of addressing this, but just I think you have to first clarify, you know, is it an issue? Is it a person issue? Is it a reporting issue? Is it a, you know, like what is the actual issue that you're having a trouble with?
Other causes or other reasons could be a new director and they're, you know, trying to get across the business. And so they're trying to scratch the surface a little bit more than what you're used to with the main board. So it might be just needing to work through and spend a little bit more time with that director so they're feeling assured. Or it might be a new director, first director's role, and they themselves are trying to work out where that boundary actually lies, and they themselves may not realise that they're potentially crossing into the operations, because particularly in not-for-profit boards being skills-based boards now, they're bringing their skills for a reason and they're using it for a purpose and they don't know. So that's where it's really important, I think, for then the chair to sort of help guide that new director as well. But other examples around micro, you know, getting into the operations might be that a director is emailing staff directly and giving them instructions, and like that's a very overt across the line action.
I'm quite hard on that one in the sense that I've got quite a hard, consistent position on that one, because I think that quite easily can get out of control. And I do think you as the CEO need to think about what you would like and how you want those interactions to go, because different interactions may be fine. So it might be that you're copied in. It might be that everything goes through you. It might be that some directors are allowed to talk to, you know, through the committees or the CFO. You talk, you know, like you can work out what relationships would quite naturally, it makes sense for the directors in the, you know, your sort of level of 2IC to speak with each other. But you have to work out what's going to work for you. So I don't think there's a hard and fast rule. I think you think in terms of what is going to allow me a level of control and order, but also you don't want to be the bottleneck, right? You don't want to be the one that's being the delay.
You'd also want, to that point around your CFO, so I'm very comfortable about, you know, say the director of the finance or the risk committee talking to the CFO, because I think that's actually super appropriate. It totally makes sense. And so as the CEO, as long as I've just kind of kept in the loop about the conversations, because I also don't want to go to a committee meeting and get caught off by a question either. So there are certainly functions or roles where it seems really appropriate. And I think it's good for the board to have a different perspective around those things of which they hold or carry a lot of liability about.
Yeah, I agree. The other thing I was thinking actually of in terms of behaviours which impact you as the CEO and which are not ideal in the board or in individual directors are directors who either come late or, you know, say you've got a 2 or 3 hour meeting, just can stay for 1 hour, or, you know, miss a lot of meetings or want to reschedule, like, yeah, they might want to reschedule the committees that they're involved with or change the time. And I think this one is also tricky to manage, because if you've got a board of people who, you know, they've all got their day jobs, let's say, and they're saying, oh, I can only come at, you know, at 5:30, but the meeting started at 4 or whatever. And I think that's really quite awkward for you as the CEO to manage. That is, I do believe that's a chair responsibility to manage, to have that conversation about what's appropriate. But I think you've got some tools as the CEO. Like, I think you do talk with your chair about it, but the expectation of how directors participate, as in turn up for the whole time, lateness, you know, meetings, double booking, you know, or wanting to reschedule, I think you can have that conversation with the chair and ask that the chair is able to set out some kind of expectations. But you can also put that, you know, that kind of behaviour in like a board charter. And then if you don't already have one, you can draft one. There's 4 billion examples online. And again, I would always say, you know, look at some good examples. You know, AICD has them, you know, Institute of Community Directors has, like, just there's tons of examples. And think about then how it fits with you and what are your problems. So your issues. And so you could easily say, well, we're going to have a charter about expectations and
to sign off on it, but sign off on it annually as well, not just do it once, because those things get forgotten really super quickly. I would also suggest, because I think those types of things can also be a little bit challenging, again, just bringing up a new director who might be on a number of boards. So they're going through that recruitment process. As the CEO, if you can give the recruiting panel a breakdown of the cadence of the meeting so that they can actually talk about it through the interview, so the person who's sort of wanting to come on the board can see if there are clashes with that up front, is a way to try and mitigate that.
We absolutely. If you've got a, you know, committee meetings on Thursday, then committee meetings are on Thursday, right?
That's right. Try not to set it up where one person can't attend and so 2 other people or 3 other people have to change it as well. I've heard of this before with other CEOs, or feeling really frustrated, sort of saying, oh, if one person can't attend, the entire board meeting's got to change. I'm like, no, but you've got quorum. Like, your constitution will talk about quorum. So if one person can't attend, then as long as you have quorum, the meeting can proceed. But perhaps that director would like to give questions or feedback directly to the chair so it's represented in the meeting.
Look, I think it depends what suits the organisation as well. Now, it may be that if someone can't attend, the organisation is able to be flexible. But what I would suggest is that, you know, it doesn't become a habit, that as the CEO, you've obviously done work to get to that meeting. And I think it's about, you know, the impact of moving. But if something happens last minute, then yeah, sure, that's life. But I do think, again, it's about establishing norms, expectations, behaviours that the whole of the board signs up to. And so, yeah, look, if there's a particular topic which is really important, it's the focus at the moment, and the person who knows the most about it can't make it, then it may make sense. So again, it is about flexibility, but it's also about understanding the why do you have a whole set of meetings scheduled for the year? Because, you know, you're busy people, reporting timelines. I think that's the conversation you as the CEO has to try and have with the chair around, you know, try not to move meetings within, what, 3-6 months? You know, like if they're set, they're set, and then obviously you can be flexible. But I think what happens is you either have a culture where things happen and if someone doesn't turn up because they can't, that's okay, or you end up having the culture where it's all a bit chaotic and all over the place. And that's quite hard as a CEO.
Yeah, because the discipline is actually really important. And I would also say that discipline's really important for good governance, because you've got continuity in your reporting and the information, and everyone can sort of understand the story as things are emerging and evolving and keep up to date. When you've got that, let's change, let's shift, let's make all these changes in the middle of those things, it's not just as confusing for the CEO, it must be confusing for the board as a whole as well. But let's actually talk the opposite of that now. So let's talk about behaviours in boards where they're resistant to change, where it might be in the best interest of an organisation to, you know, be a little bit more agile.
Yeah. And I think if you're a new CEO, and I think there's a few things to say. First of all, your board should change in the sense that there should be set up some in your constitution or be terms of directors. And it's not uncommon to not have this. Like I have seen plenty of examples where, you know, there'll be a chair of 17 years.
I've seen an example where the founding chair is still a chair and it was 40 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, look, 40 years is a long time, obviously, but I think you've got these people who are good at the job, dedicated, committed, and really still adding value. So I think that's the thinking process, not, oh, we've still got this person who's sitting there. It's, you know, it's often people who are doing amazing things, and it's quite hard to recruit directors in a lot of organisations. And so I think it is about having the conversation and making sure that everyone on the board is still adding value. And again, it's not your board, right? Like you're the CEO, but it's having the conversation around, do we have terms? Do we rotate? How long is the maximum term on the board? And then, you know, it may be that if you've got someone who's there for a long time and you think, oh no, we can't find anyone or we don't know what to do, that is when you might need to bring in and some external help and go in and have conversations around, you know, the role of the board, what would be best practice governance as apart from, you know, continuing on with someone who's been there for a long time. But, you know, everything, roles, responsibilities, getting comfortable with your reporting. So I do think if it's really hard as the CEO, then sometimes it is easier if someone else delivers the message. That can be helpful. And I do this. I've done this a lot. Little promo for me. No, but I think it is, like, let's talk about it from the CEO perspective. If you're not getting traction, then what are you going to do? And it may be you need to have someone else come in and help you deliver the message. Now, there's various ways they can do that. It doesn't have to be a bigger than Ben Hur thing. It can be a bit easier. Look at what you've got to work with. Clarify roles. Have you got position descriptions? Look at your board charter. Look at your constitution. Like, you can do some prep work and to set these conversations up with your chair.
That's right. And other tools, your delegations framework as well, particularly if you've got that more chaotic board who's wanting to step in and micromanage, look at your tools. And I think those things actually then create a discussion around good governance as opposed to a discussion around behaviours. So that's you're focusing on a problem, not on a person. And you can take the personal out of it then. And as a CEO, it's less of a prickly conversation to have.
Yeah. So I think one of the tools you've got is the agenda. And you can work with your chair to make sure that it is structured in a way that really encourages discussion of issues from a strategic perspective, how progress is going against your strategic priorities and your strategic plan decisions. And, you know, I always say put some time down the side if you're really struggling. If you've got a board that gets very operational, by suggesting a time, you know, this is going to take 30 minutes of discussion, that is going to keep things moving as well. Now, this is something you can't do by yourself. You need your chair on board for this. But you do have a few tools as the CEO where you can work with your chair to try and fix some of these issues.
Absolutely. I think also be really clear about then what's being discussed in board meetings and what decisions and are coming out of that, and make sure that is clearly documented to avoid any miscommunication or confusion or, you know, sort of re-prosecuting discussions in future meetings. But I would also say there's points in time as the CEO where you do need to pick your battles, and there might be times where issues you might just need to let go of and recognize that you as the CEO don't really have a lot of influence in that matter or that behavior. You're doing what you can to try and get a good outcome for the sake of the organization, but it might actually also just be out of your hands, and you need to just trust that and let that go.
Mm. Yeah, as long as it's not destructive, right? So as long as it's not destructive to the organization or you, I think that, yes, you can't win every battle, absolutely. It is not your meeting. If you've got a good relationship with your chair, that really is their responsibility. If they can't for some reason, whether, you know, maybe part of the behaviour is with them or they're really uncomfortable bringing it up, then think about some external learning, some learning. You know, like if people start having discussions around, okay, our role and what does this mean practically, like you said before, it depersonalises it, and it what might really help you as the CEO as well?
First, I think what we have to accept is that there are many different personalities on a board, wide range of personalities, and with that it brings a diverse experience around behaviours, and some of those, and I think as we put up front, there are very many good functioning, well-intentioned boards. But every now and then there might be a person on a board that makes it a little bit trickier, and there's certain behaviours that we've talked about there in terms of might be more micromanaging, might be slightly chaotic, they may be unprepared. That can make it really difficult for the CEO, and there are some tactics that you can use, such as have a conversation with your chair, work with your chair about how the chair can actually address that either with the director or within the board. There are tools at your disposal. What we talk about, board charter. We talked about the constitution, having terms in the constitution. We talked about the board agenda. We talked about role descriptions, delegations matrix as well, and also bring in external facilitation and using that as a learning opportunity for the board as well.
Absolutely.
I think that's it.
That's it. If you are interested in discussing this topic further, or you think that we can be of assistance, please reach out to either Danielle or me, Michelle, through LinkedIn, or contact us directly through our website. We're happy to chat with you about any of these issues raised in the podcast.